The following story is told from the point of view of a female. Last Thanksgiving, my boyfriend and I loaded our 2-month-old daughter into our car and drove from Miami to Naples to visit my family. Being new parents, we were extremely nervous about taking such a lengthy trip with the baby and packed for every possible scenario. We left shortly after 12, my boyfriend behind the wheel, and we hit the highway, which was swollen with holiday traffic. After about an hour of driving, the baby became fussy, and we pulled over at a rest stop to feed her and change her diaper. While I was changing her, my boyfriend stood outside the car stretching, and suddenly called my name. Peering outside the car, I looked across the street in the direction he was pointing. There was a clown with a purple star painted over his face, and wild, crazy, unkempt black hair, and a purple and white checkered outfit standing on the opposite side of the parking lot, just waving to people as they pulled in and out of the rest stop. I chuckled and returned to what I was doing, unbothered by the clown, figuring it was just part of some kind of promotion. As we pulled out of the station, the clown waved at us, and I gave a lazy acknowledgement back, just before my boyfriend took his foot off the brake and eased into traffic. The clown gave me the most hungry, sinister smile I had ever seen, and shouted,
"You would look amazing draped over my lap."
Even through the closed car window, I heard him clearly, and said, "Wow, what a creep." As we drove away, I repeated what the clown had said to my boyfriend, who hadn't quite heard it, and for a few minutes he was dead set on turning around to confront him. But I told him it wasn't worth it, as we still had a long drive ahead of us. We arrived in Naples shortly after 2:30, and by then, I had already forgotten about the incident and didn't even bring it up to my parents. We had a great time at my parents' place and ended up leaving close to 11:30 at night, much later than we had intended to. My parents tried to convince us to stay, and while we had plenty of stuff for the baby, we hadn't packed any overnight things for ourselves. So we decided just to commit to the drive. We figured that there would be a lot less traffic, and it would take a shorter amount of time to get home. My boyfriend had been driving for about 45 minutes when he asked me if I wouldn't mind taking over, as he was having a hard time keeping his eyes focused. I told him to pull over at the next rest area, and I would take the wheel. After a few minutes, we see a sign for a rest area and pull into it. It wasn't the same rest stop as before. It had no bathrooms, vending machines, or anything. It was basically just a long parking lot, with one row of parking spaces which looped back onto the road. My boyfriend pulled the car into a spot, nose first, so it was facing a long chain-link fence, and beyond it, there was just trees and a swamp. I couldn't see anything specific in the glow of the headlights. He put the car in park and left the engine running, and the lights on as he climbed out of the driver's seat. The baby started to fuss as soon as the car stopped moving, and after I climbed out of the passenger seat, I opened the back door to check on her. My boyfriend climbed into the passenger seat and immediately shut his eyes, after I confirmed that the baby was fine and would probably fall back asleep when we started driving again. I shut the back door and made my way to the driver's seat. That's when I heard the sound of the chain link fence rattling and something being dragged across the metal links, steadily drawing closer. I turned in the direction of the noise, and for a split second, I only noticed the dark outline of a figure on the opposite side of the fence, until they stepped into the light of our headlights. It was the exact same clown from the other rest stop, except this time he had a large red stain splattered across his purple and white costume, and was dragging a broken beer bottle across the fence. He pressed his face directly into the gaps in the fence and smiled at me. He cackled,
"Hello again,"
and started making lewd gestures with his tongue. I was at a loss for words. It was so unbelievably surreal that I could only stare at him in disbelief and horror, not knowing whether I should be truly afraid or start laughing at the absurdity of it. My boyfriend launched himself out of the passenger seat and screamed, "Get in the car!" When he opened his car door, the baby started crying out, and the sound could be heard across the silent parking lot. And the clown immediately started singing in a grotesque, uneven voice.
"Rock-a-bye baby in the treetop. When the clown comes, the cradle will rock."
My parents had given us a set of fancy glasses for our dining room table, my boyfriend launched one directly at the clown. The glass shattered against the chain link fence and sprayed tiny razor projectiles all over. The clown hissed and immediately booked it to the end of the fence. My boyfriend and I jumped into the car, slammed the doors, and locked them. I threw the car into reverse and backed out of the spot, and as we put the car in drive, we saw the clown charging towards us across the parking lot. My boyfriend yelled at me to hit him, but I swerved to avoid him and floored it out of the lot and back onto the highway. For the next several minutes, my heart was racing, convinced that at any moment a speeding car would come up behind us and try to run us off the road. But fortunately, that never happened. We were so shaken and traumatized that all we could do for the rest of the way home was ask each other over and over again, what the heck just happened? We could only speculate what the guy was doing out there at 12 a.m., dressed like a clown in the middle of the Everglades on Thanksgiving night. We considered that he was just trying to mess with people. But you would need some serious balls to pull that kind of stunt out there in the Everglades. The people that live around there don't put up with that kind of nonsense. And what was he even doing there? Just hiding behind the dark fence for a completely random car to show up so he could traumatize them? I don't know if the stain on his suit was actually blood, but he made us feel threatened enough that we felt justified throwing something at him. And seeing as how his response was to charge us, I suspect that his intentions were hostile. The fact that we had seen him earlier that day made the situation even worse, because it felt like he was stalking us. My boyfriend had a license to carry a gun, so all I can say is, it's a good thing that he wasn't packing that particular night. This Thanksgiving, we plan to stay home. I know when most people think of a female clown, they immediately think of the charismatic and very sexy Batman villain Harley Quinn, but I promise they're not all like that. Back in 2012, I was walking home one night at around 9. I live in Gilbert, Arizona, and was walking by a large, wide-open park with a couple of soccer fields and basketball courts when I noticed something out of the corner of my eye. The overhead lights were still on and illuminating the fields, and I noticed someone sitting cross-legged out on the grass. I pulled out my earbuds and stepped off the sidewalk to get a closer look. At first, I thought maybe it was someone who had hurt themselves, but as I took a few steps closer, I noticed that it was a young woman, perhaps in her early 20s, leaning forward over something. It was hard to tell her exact age because her face was covered in white makeup and a red heart and a black spade painted on her cheeks. Her top lip was painted black and her bottom lip dark red. She was wearing a gray hoodie with the hood up, but had two holes cut on either side to accommodate her blonde pigtails. I stopped in my tracks and glanced around, convinced that this was a YouTube prank or something. But we were in the middle of a wide open area, and aside from the occasional car passing by, we seemed completely alone. The clown lady was wearing bright red sneakers, torn jeans, and some kind of clawed glove on her right hand like Freddy Krueger. I was only a dozen feet or so away, close enough to say something, but I decided to back away slowly and not engage in whatever she was doing. As I took a step back, she called out to me without looking up.
Where you going? Come here!
Nah, I'm good, I replied, and continued to walk away. For the first time, she looked up and smiled way too big, showcasing far more teeth and gums than was necessary. She raised the clawed hand, and I noticed that at the ends of each fingertip was a sharp point, like a thumbtack.
You sure? More for me then.
That's when she pulled out a large kitchen knife, the size of an ear of corn, and started cutting into the thing on the ground. I glanced back down and noticed the thing that she was leaning over appeared to be a dead bird of some kind, and she was using her clawed hand to pull the feathers off. She stabbed at the bird with the blade, and then pulled out a flask out of her pocket and threw back a swig. I nearly fell backwards into the road as I maneuvered myself off the grass and onto the sidewalk. I didn't want to turn my back on her the whole time, convinced that it was a prank, and I should start looking around in every direction for someone with a camera or a phone. But there was no one else even remotely close by, and no place they could be hiding either. I quickly turned around and power walked down the sidewalk towards my apartment complex. As I reached the intersection, I was forced to wait for the traffic light to change so I could cross safely. My earbuds were back in, but I honestly wasn't listening to the music. I was so confused and unnerved by what I had just seen. I glanced over my shoulder and saw, to my horror, that the lady clown was walking up the sidewalk towards me, appearing to be looking directly at me. I wrenched out my earbuds again, glanced both ways, up and down the street, and even though the light was still green and the cars had the right-of-way, I sprinted across. When I reached the other side, I turned and saw that she was still approaching the intersection. She waved at me with her clawed hand, and a few feathers fluttered to the ground. She called out to me,
"Don't get killed tonight."
At least I'm pretty sure that's what she said. There were sounds of traffic muffling her voice. I literally ran home, entered my gated apartment complex, and went the long way around the building just to make sure I wasn't being followed. I then climbed up the stairs, locked both of my locks, and stared out my peephole in a panic. For about 5 minutes before I finally calmed down, I didn't turn on any lights in the apartment, and instead used my phone to navigate to my bedroom, and then used a light from my laptop screen to change and go to bed. The following day, when the sun was high in the sky, I double-checked the spot where the clown lady had been, and the mutilated remains of a bird were lying on the grass. A few weeks later, I saw her again in broad daylight. I was driving my friend's car and noticed her walking down the sidewalk in full makeup in the exact same hoodie, dragging a garbage bag behind her. I turned the car around out of morbid curiosity and followed her for about a half mile, pulling over on the side of the road to let her walk ahead for a while and slowly continuing on. When she reached a wide open plot of dirt, I saw her pull out what looked like to be a dead rat from the garbage bag. She cut it open with a switchblade and wrung it out like a sponge, blood spilling onto the ground and probably all over her clothes as well. That's when she turned towards me and, with blood running down her fingers, raised her right hand and put her thumb between her index finger and middle finger. This is known as giving someone the fig, and if anything, it's even more obscene than raising your middle finger. I immediately backed the car up and got the hell out of there. It's not that when she turned towards me that bothered me. She easily could have realized that she was being followed. It was the gesture she gave me. It's one I commonly use at people in traffic, and I always get a kick out of it because hardly anyone knows what that means. But I've never seen anyone else use it in my life, and the fact that she did really shook me. I mean, what are the chances she knew that I would understand it? I've since moved, but my buddy still lives out there, and occasionally tells me he spots her wandering the side of the road. So next time you're in Gilbert, keep an eye out.
A few years ago, I was looking for a roommate. The vacancy had risen because my previous one was a Swedish guy who had been having some trouble with homesickness. Eventually, it got too much and he moved away to somewhere with a colder climate. So, as you do, I put some ads up on various sites and it didn't take long before a guy called Robert responded. We messaged back and forth a couple of times and arranged to meet up one day at Starbucks. I was immediately struck by his easy charm and wit. You couldn't hope to meet a person who was easier to talk to. He was in art school with ambitions of making it big as a painter. How exactly one would go about that, I have no idea, but we had become friends straight away, and I didn't think twice about letting him move in. Just before we parted ways that day, Rob, as he'd insisted I'd call him, asked a question I really didn't anticipate.
"Hey, I know this is a weird question, but are you by chance afraid of clowns?"
he said with a weird smile.
I suppose so,"
I replied, wondering why anyone would ask.
"I probably watched Stephen King's It at a stupidly young age. Are you scared of them?" "Oh, damn," he said. "I'm a clown on the weekends. I do like charity events and fundraisers, visit sick kids and hospitals sometimes. Is that a problem for you? I mean, I know some people are seriously afraid of clowns." "Oh, of course not. That sounds cool. It's just the bad clowns that scare me, you know."
I had never personally known one before, but Rob didn't seem scary.
"I promise, I don't kill kids," he said with a grin.
He threw his neck back and drained the last of the coffee from the cup.
It's the adults I go for.
I burst out laughing at his dark sense of humor. What a cool guy, I thought. I'm actually going to be looking forward to this new roommate situation. Our first few weeks living together went about as smoothly as possible, and things were a good deal more peaceful than they had been with my previous roommate. I definitely didn't miss being woken up at unholy hours by his sobbing. Rob would get up, go to class, come home, then paint or have a quick drink with a friend or two. Sometimes on the weekend, he'd put on his clown suit and go out to those charity events that he talked about. He didn't seem like a scary clown. He was so cool, in fact, that he even began to change my view of clowns. There was a freezer in our kitchen that I told Rob not to bother using. It hadn't been right since before he moved in. I kept meaning to call someone to come out and look at it or replace it, but I guess it must have slipped his mind. One day, about 5 months after Rob moved in, I came home to find the lights on, but total silence in the house. That was strange. Rob was always watching TV or playing his guitar. He hated silence. But I really knew something was up when I noticed something different about that freezer. The freezer door was open. I walked over, looked inside. Oh my God. 8 chunks of a human body. All cut up neatly and stored tidily on the shelves. I can't really explain how I felt in that moment. I panicked. What the hell can you do in that situation? My mind was racing, and I thought back to the day we met Rob, and he made that joke about only killing adults. Holy shit. Just then, a faint shuffling noise came from Rob's room. I didn't know what to do. For some reason, I tiptoed over to his room to see what the hell was happening. I don't know. I suppose adrenaline just takes over at that point. I peered in, and sure enough, there he was, lying on the floor with a mad look in his eyes as he stared at the ceiling. After a long delay in which I'm sure he was aware of my presence, he looked up at me.
You sick bastard. I'm calling the police.
Clowns are the worst roommates, don't you think? Always uncovering the dead bodies in places you specifically told them not to look. I'm afraid I had to kill him too. So now my old Swedish friend has a dorm partner to sleep along with him in that big freezer. Oh, by the way, I'm still looking for a new roommate, if anyone's interested.
This happened just last night. I live in the middle of nowhere in Nebraska, and my older cousin Odo and I were driving back home from the Home Depot in town, traveling at about 50 miles an hour, down a long stretch of road with fields on either side. And I'm not joking when I say that clowns started appearing out of the tall grass to our left, at least 9 or 10 of them, each of them looking at us. They all put out their arms and acted like they were going to grab the truck. I was at the wheel, and Odo called out, "Holy shit, really?" As we began driving past a few of them, one of the clowns, either because he was more daring than the others, or just couldn't see very well in his mask, got way too close to the road, and I hit the brakes, not to stop the car, but to slow it down. When they saw us slowing down, they made to rush the truck. Alarmed that they were suddenly swarming us, I instinctively hit the gas again. I slammed the front right side of the truck directly into one of them, knocking him down against the pavement. Immediately, all the other clowns started yelling and cursing, not really making to help their friend, but instead smashing their fists against the outside of the truck. Odo told me to put it in park, which I did, and he pulled a handgun from under the passenger seat. It was my uncle's gun, but I knew for a fact that it wasn't loaded because the firing pin was broken, and the gun wasn't able to fire. He rolled down the window and pointed the gun directly at one of the clowns. The clowns immediately backed off. Then he yelled, "Give me a reason!" For a moment, there was just silence as the clowns backed away a few steps, but not enough for me to hit the gas and safely floor it out of there. Odo gestured to the clown on the pavement. "Is he alright?" The clown on the ground started crawling with his hands and knees, and was shuffling away. Another clown carefully helped him to his feet. "Make a space!" Odo gestured with the gun to the clowns in front of the truck, and they immediately parted. I put the car into drive, and slowly started edging forward. We have a dash cam, so don't bother calling the cops.
Otto kept the gun pointed at all of them until we were far enough away, then rolled the passenger window back up. Seeing all those clowns clumped in the middle of the road in my rearview mirror was one of the strangest things I had ever seen. Otto placed the gun back under the seat before muttering that he hoped that the headlight wasn't cracked. When we got home, we opened some beers and watched Game of Thrones, and didn't even bring it up to my uncle when he got home. We didn't actually have a dash cam, but figured that there was no way for the clowns to know that for certain. I hope they learned something from this, because next time, I don't plan on hitting the brakes.
The following story is told from the point of view of a female. Back during the height of the 2016 clown craze, where psychos were dressing up and wandering around rural and wooded areas, stalking and terrifying people, I was living in a very isolated and heavily wooded property in Connecticut. My driveway was so long that my house could not be seen from the road, and I never once had a problem with trespassers, so my kids were free to play outside in our yard whenever they wished. One afternoon, I was inside the house on a conference call when my 8-year-old daughter ran into the house, stating that there was a clown in our driveway. For the first several seconds, I was annoyed because I was convinced she was either playing a joke on me or just seeing things. I excused myself from the call and asked her what she was doing there, and she simply replied, "It's pointing at us." Something in the way she said that made a chill run through me, and I stood up and walked out of the front door and onto the front steps. My daughter pointed and I saw a figure in a pink and blue striped outfit standing by the tree line, waving and pointing towards my other two children who were still close to the house, but calling over to the clown, asking what it wanted. I immediately called my kids inside and locked my front door. I told them to stay put, grabbed my stun gun from its spot, and got into my car. I called my husband as I drove the car out of the garage and down the driveway, telling him what was going on, and he told me to keep the car doors locked and not to get too close. I decided, at least for the time being, not to call the police, because it would have taken them a good half an hour just to get there, and by then, the clown would likely be gone. I didn't just want to disappear into the house and wait for this person to get bored. I wanted to confront him and tell him to stay away from my property and from my kids. The clown wasn't by the tree line when I left the garage, but I drove down the driveway, into the trees a short way, and saw him jogging away at a brisk pace. When he heard my car coming, he stopped and turned around and looked back towards me. He wasn't wearing a mask, but his face was heavily made up, complete with a clown nose. But what really shook me was that he appeared to be holding a croquet mallet in one of his hands. He waved at me before disappearing into the woods, and I slammed on my brakes and rolled down my window halfway, screaming at him to get the hell off my property. I floored it to the end of my driveway and drove back and forth in the hopes of finding a parked car with a license plate I could report, but there wasn't anything suspicious or out of place. I returned to the house to check on my kids, who were more amused and excited than afraid. Inwardly, I kicked myself for not taking a picture of the clown on my phone, just to have a record of it in case I needed to report it. I told my kids they had to stay inside for the rest of the day, and figured that I would never see the clown again. Whoever it was had gotten his kicks, and certainly would not risk trespassing on my property again. The kids were asleep, and my husband and I were skimming through Netflix, and I got up to let the cat out. I'm not exactly positive on what I saw, but there was definitely something across the yard. I noticed movement out of the corner of my eye and thought I saw the shadow of something cast by the moon disappearing around the corner. I turned on all the outside lights, and my husband and I looked around, but whatever it was did not reappear. It could have been a deer, I suppose, but the reason I suspect it was the clown was because of the following morning. When I drove my car to the end of the driveway, there was a purple balloon tied to our mailbox, and the little potted plant at the base of the post had been smashed, as if something big, like a mallet, had come down on it. Worried that the balloon was an indicator of some kind, I immediately untied it. The rest of that day passed without incident, and by the following afternoon, I'd forgotten all about the clown
until my kids came back inside and told me he was back and pointing at them again. I yelled at the kids to come inside, but this time, instead of getting in the car, I grabbed my phone and stun gun and stupidly charged out of the front door and stomped across the yard, determined to get a picture this time, and at best stun him and hold him down until the cops came and dragged his ass away. I never saw him that time, and instead of just keeping my kids shut inside, I loaded them in the car and drove to my parents. This time they were a little more spooked by the clown, and I began to become concerned that perhaps my kids were not safe in the yard anymore. I asked them if it was the same clown, and they said it was, and this time he was holding a sledgehammer. I don't know if that was true, or if they were just misidentifying the croquet mallet. The following day, I decided to become a little more proactive. My parents let me borrow their black Labrador named Groucho. He was a friendly dog, but had a tremendously loud bark and was fiercely protective of the kids. For 2 days, nothing happened, and I was starting to hope that the clown had moved on to harass someone else. That's when it happened. I was returning back up the driveway in the car, after getting the mail, when I noticed the clown was sneaking through the woods. Groucho was in the back seat and immediately started barking loud enough to rupture my eardrums. I slammed on my brakes and immediately called the cops and told them that there was a trespasser on my property and he was carrying a weapon. I honestly couldn't tell if he was carrying the croquet mallet through the trees, but I know he had been carrying one before, so I felt I had a reasonable cause to assume. As I was on the phone with the cops, another call came in on my cell from the house. My oldest daughter was crying, saying that there was a clown standing on our back deck, right outside the sliding door. This one was dressed all in orange, with a blue face. I floored it back up the driveway, threw my car into park, and when I reached the garage, I saw the second clown sprinting towards the woods. I opened the rear door, and Groucho tore after the guy like a ballistic missile. He caught the clown right by the tree line, and the guy started screaming as the loyal dog leapt on top of him and tore at his costume. I distinctly heard two separate male voices yelling in the trees, though I couldn't make out exactly what was being said. My daughter was still on the line and confirmed to me that all the kids were still inside, so I went after my dog into the woods. When I found Groucho, he was limping slightly. I was infuriated to see that he had been stabbed with what could have been an ice pick or a screwdriver, but he ultimately seemed unbothered by it. When the cops arrived, I gave them my statement, and they searched the woods. About an hour later, I got a call saying that two men had been pulled over and arrested several miles away for reckless driving, and one of them had severe dog bites on both legs. Groucho went to the vet and got bandaged up, and fortunately he has been perfectly fine ever since. I never heard any follow-up pertaining to the arrest afterwards, but the whole situation still amazes me. Getting to our house through the woods isn't an easy 2-minute hike. These men had to walk a good 10 to 15 minutes through the thick forest in full clown makeup just to get close enough to see our house, all for the sake of pranking and terrorizing my family, who was just minding their own business. Their motives were completely lost on me, and the more research I did on this whole clown thing, the more I think it was some kind of test or initiation, and not just something bored people were doing to pass the time. They put real effort into stalking us, and ultimately were rewarded with a dog attack. I think they got lucky. Fortunately, I've never seen another trespasser on my property since.